Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on this beautiful Monday. Beautiful but hot. I don't know about y'all, but dang. There's been some heat and humidity this past 4 or 5 days that have been like beyond the pale. But nonetheless, we're here for you. It's always cool on Right Side Radio, just so you know. It's like the cool side of the pillow. It's just always cool on Right Side Radio. What was that? Remember that Big Rig? Remember that series of ads for the most interesting man in the world? You know, the guy who would always go, "I don't always drink, my friends, but when I do, it's Dos Equis."
Yes.
All right. Yeah. They used to have these commercials with him, and they'd say, on his, everything was always perfect. His pillow was cool on both sides. So,
yeah.
Okay, that just fell flat. Thank you very much.
Well, no, it's kind of like the Chuck Norris thing, you know? Like Chuck Norris is like the coolest, most baddest dude on the planet.
Yeah, like Chuck Norris. Monsters look under their bed for Chuck Norris.
Yeah, it's exactly. True. Yeah.
All right, I don't know why I chased that rabbit. Okay, listen, I'll take a few text messages here. Let's see what I got. John from Huntsville says, "Phil, I'm a Republican who's going to proudly vote for Trump, and I hope every Republican will proudly vote for Trump, and I think this year's election is going to play out with Trump receiving a million or more legal votes than last time. However, I think Biden will receive several million more illegal votes than last time, so unfortunately, Biden will still most likely win." Well, John, I hope you are wrong, brother. I hope you are wrong. But that's why we got to pay attention. And listen, I tell you what, let me wrap that. I kind of anticipated that I had wrapped the last topic, but your text just reminded me of something. We need people to be poll watchers. You have no idea how important you are. You can go to your local registrar's office. You can your probate office. You can sign up in your county to be a poll watcher. It's a day out of your time, and you may actually thoroughly enjoy it. My stepmom's been a poll watcher for years. She's in her 80s now. But all I'm saying is this: we need people to not just say, "Well, I plan to vote," which is great. Please do. But I plan to vote, and I plan to watch the vote. I plan to care about how the process goes. I plan to be involved in the process. We need more people like that. I'm just throwing it out there for your consumption, all right? Good, solid people need to be at the polls so that if somebody brings in a batch of them, if somebody pulls out a box of them, if somebody says, "Well, your ID doesn't match, but we'll let you vote anyway," someone is there to go, "I'm sorry, it can't work that way." Anyway, TC from Priceville says, "Phil, I think 11 million, talking about the illegals, is extremely conservative. It's probably closer to 15 million. Maybe so. He says, "Now add that to the also very conservative 22 million that they say are already here, and that'll easily flip a national election." By the way, they've been throwing that 22 million around number for like 20 years. Yeah, it's unreal. Kim from Athens says, who just joined from Moms for Liberty, by the way, says you can volunteer for poll watching, etc., on Trump's website. That's cool. They'll probably put you right in touch with your local officials, but because they have to sign you up locally, and you have to go through, I think, like a one-hour training seminar or something like that. It's worth doing, though. Ryan from Hazel Green. "Most people pee their name in the snow. Chuck Norris pees his name in the concrete." We may be flooded with Chuck Norris jokes here momentarily. I blame this entirely on you, just so you know, Big Rig.
It's not a bad thing.
All right, hey, let's switch gears here. Let's talk about what I'm referring to in the Dipper number three as a weekend at Biden's. It is not good, which is the understatement of the century. But what we're watching play out right now with President Biden, the very fact that his own party is melting down right now over his cognitive ability to govern the affairs of state, the very idea that his own people are questioning his leadership, his capacity for leadership, is a clear indication that we have a constitutional crisis. It is no small thing, y'all. No small thing at all. The guy who has the nuclear codes, the guy who has the ability to make decisions that impact you and I on a day. Think of all the things we talked about just today. The Biden administration, in his name, comes out against the idea of illegals having to prove, or people having to prove their citizenship so illegals can't vote in our elections. That's the guy. The guy who, his Department of Education, with his appointed Secretary of Education, Cardona, coming out with Title IX rewrites. That's the guy. He makes decisions, or the people in his name make decisions, that impact all of us. Who's advising him and who's in charge? That's what I want to know. Who's advising him right now and who's in charge? We know who the chief of staff is, Ron Klain. We know who his senior advisors are. We do. You see them. They do press conference. We get it. No. Who's really in charge? At 3 a.m, when a crisis erupts, do they really get him out of bed and bring him to the Situation Room? Do they? And do the generals with confidence turn to him and say, Mr. President, I advise you do so-and-so. Take us to DEFCON 3. Do they look at him and go, oh, gee, where's the VP? Do they? Or do they sit among themselves and make decisions and they go, Mr. President, we advise you to do this, and we kind of already did it, so you good with that? I think there are policies and procedures and decisions of affairs of state that are being decided by people who were never elected to do it. Why? Because A, he can't, and B, they can, and they're taking advantage of it. If you heard the beginning of the show, I had a monologue today, and I called it Biden, the Biden Trojan horse. That's what he is. He's the Trojan horse. He was put in place so that they could get in the gate. They can control him. They can say stuff, and he'll go, is that the good thing to do? Yes. That's the way it feels. Maybe we'll find out one day it wasn't. Maybe we'll find out one day he was more in tune and had a grasp of the facts and had the ability to make decisions than we could. Maybe he has more prescient mental capacity than we ever thought. If that's the case, why are we having to talk about it? If he is sharp and on the money, then why are we watching his behavior and going, oh my gosh, can he tie his own shoes? I mean, I don't know. What is the requirement for a president? Does a president have to be able to tie his own shoes? No. Does a president have to be able to run a mile in a certain time? No. Does the president have to have a mental capacity to make sharp decisions that impact all of us on a daily basis? Absolutely, by God, yes. Do you remember? Okay, I'll take some of y'all back. And Lord of the Rings. Love the books, love the movies. The whole trilogy, the movies. I mean, there's been very few movie series that I couldn't wait for the next one to come out. But Lord of the Rings was so epic in scale, so well done, so well acted. Do you remember the king? Was it Theoden? Theoden King, the one who was all shriveled up on his throne. I'm looking at Big Rig. Am I thinking of the right one? Was it Theoden? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, Theoden King, sitting on his throne. And the guy who they called, was it Wormtongue?
Yeah.
Yeah, whispering in his ear, telling him what to do. And he's all shriveled up and didn't have any strength in his bones and just kind of nodded his head when he was told by Wormtongue what things are. I saw a meme on social media. Had a picture of Theoden sitting on his throne, but they'd superimposed Biden's face over it. Had a picture of Wormtongue leaning over, speaking to him, but it had Jill Biden's face next to it, or superimposed over it.
That's hilarious. It's perfect, too.
It's perfect. It makes you wonder, who's out there telling the king what to do?
The Wormtongues.
The Wormtongues. There you go. The Wormtongues. Who are the Wormtongues? By the way, just so you know, new polling just came out. Story here from Newsmax. Biden hits his lowest approval numbers ever. Ever. I thought they were low already. Nope. They apparently went lower. President Joe Biden hit his lowest approval rating since becoming president, according to a survey released on Friday from 538. By the way, 538 is an aggregator. 538 goes out and with only accepting polls that have been done with certain, you know, acceptable, strict criteria of methodology and sourcing and all that kind of stuff. They then aggregate the polls. Biden's job approval now sits at 36%. I want to know who those 36% are, by the way. 57% disapprove of him. Interestingly, within months of the election, over 50% of Democrats believe they now have a better chance of winning with a different candidate. Over 50% of his own party believes he's not the guy. Well, it's getting worse. And by the way, Donald Trump's numbers are going up. Biden's are going down. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if John from Huntsville's right and somehow or another Biden wins an election with clear polling and what we can see happening, I'm just going to tell you, there's going to be problems in the United States. There are. You think there was unrest in January 6th? Oh my gosh. Listen, the bottom line is this. We can see it. We know that Worm Tongue is whispering in his ear. And right now his polling is abysmal. We can watch his behavior. We can see how off he is, how lost he is. We also, by the way, even if he's making decisions, I mean, I realize people have behavioral quirks. These are not quirks. We are watching someone who does not inspire confidence. We need a God-fearing gunslinger in there who, when China bows up, when the Houthis bow up, when Iran bows up, when our national security is at risk at 3 a.m, we need somebody who has the ability to go, I'm here, give me a cup of coffee, let's make a decision, and get her done. And right now, there is nothing about what we're seeing in the current president that speaks to the rest of the world that they should not step on our interests. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. I got more on this. We're talking about weekend at Biden's, and then coming up, bottom of the hour, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville calling in. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time, making it cool to be a conservative. And I'm about to go to the phones here in a moment. I'll tell you this, though, real quick. I've got a story from redstate.com. Says that Jill Biden is melting down at people who want Joe to step aside. Listen, I don't understand her at all. Now, either A, her husband's totally fine and we just can't see it. Or B, she totally could give a rat's hind end about how he's doing as long as she gets to stay first lady. I think that one of the Green Bay Worm Tongues here is Jill Biden. We're watching right now and questioning, where's his wife on all that? Why is it so obvious that things are not well with the man, and yet she is absolutely determined that he stay in there? Here's what I think, and I'm going to say this real quick before I go to the phones. I think they're not through negotiating. He has said that today, he made the statement that he is absolutely running for office. He is not done. He's running for president. He thinks he can beat Donald Trump. Bold talk. Bold talk. But you know what? If you're also negotiating for your best interests post-office, you don't give up before you've got what you want. I think they're looking for the soft landing. I think they're looking for the ability to say, we're not going to be prosecuted or persecuted. I think they're looking for the ability to say, if I drop out, what are you going to do for us financially? How's the party going to treat us? What's my legacy going to be like? Okay. Can we have that in writing, please? Okay. Now we'll drop out. You watch. There's some negotiations going on right now. Go over to the phones real quick. Is that Jeff Rowe? Jeff Rowe from Indiana. What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm in Nashville, as always.
So,
never mind.
So need I ask any further?
No. But, hey, here's my take on what's been going on. Just a little scenario here. Joe Biden run, when he run first time, this time, there was already people with their hands up his back and telling him what to say.
Yeah.
And then they would he just like a dummy. They put his hands up his back and tells him what to say, and then he put him back in the crate. And then one day they figured, oh man, this dummy's getting to look pretty bad and everything. It's not a distraction to see that he's the one, you know, we're the ones talking and not him. And then, like a Twilight Zone movie, the dummy started speaking from the trunk and had its own thoughts and said, I'm going to run. And it's like, oh no, what are we going to do now?
Yeah.
So we had to get him this thing with Trump. And because the people that's got their hands behind Biden's back aren't liked by Kamala Harris. That's why they can't put her in, because they know if they put her in, they're out.
Oh.
And I think they've made arrangements with a pretty boy out in California there, Newsom, that, you know, hey, we'll get you in here and you keep us around and we'll tell you what to say. And that's my scenario of what's going on.
You know what? You could well be right. It's amazing to me. Yeah, I tell you what else is infuriating, and people need to ask this question. If you didn't like Kamala this much, why did you make her the vice president? Because she's one heartbeat away. Nobody knows what's going to happen. I mean, there could have been an attempt on the president's life. There could have been a heart attack. There could have been, you know, COVID could have got him, well, even though he's boosted 19 times. And yet they put the person in there with no desire to make her the boss, even though she's one heartbeat away from being the boss.
Liberals aren't known for their vast knowledge, I don't think. It's, you know, good, clear thinking there. Be my guess.
Well, but here's the thing, though, too, and I really do believe this. We have got to get policies as the front and center. Policies. I mean, they can change out the person. The policy's got to change. Hey, brother, the music's playing.
Exactly.
You be safe on the road. Take care through Nashville, all right?
Have a good one, Phil.
All
thank
right,
you.
We'll see you, buddy. All right, Phil Williams. We will be right back with U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville. Stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, proud to welcome in the senior senator from the state of Alabama. That would be U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, who has really been very vocal here of late about the conditions of our current sitting president, Joe Biden. He's also, by the way, been the sponsor of the SAVE Act, which I talked about earlier in the show. So I believe he's on the line right now. Yeah, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great. What's happening?
We're good. We're just out here with a target-rich environment for a conservative talk show.
Well, I'm back in the most dysfunctional place in the history of the United States called Washington, D.C. My gosh, what a mess we got up here.
We do, and we're watching it from afar, but you're up there in the thick of it. Listen, it's like the elephant in the room. You can't get around talking about the fact that our current president, like the emperor has no clothes, right? It's bad. What are they saying up there in D.C.?
Well, they've hid the guy in the closet for the last 3.5 years, even the year before that while he was campaigning. And you got to feel bad for him because he's sick. He's got some kind of mental problem or dementia or whatever. He can't remember one day from the next. But what the Democrats and the mainstream media are mad about, number one, the media got exposed that, hey, this didn't just happen. It's been happening. You hadn't been reporting on it. And the other thing is that the Democrats up here that have been running the show, Schumer, Pelosi, Obama, people behind the scenes have been exposed. Wait a minute. Surely y'all hadn't been letting Joe Biden make decisions after that debate. He doesn't really know what he's doing. So they're all embarrassed. So now they don't know what to do. And so it's just a complete disaster. And I hope the American people see the Democrats and the socialist communists for what they are, because they are negative and a hindrance to this country and are bringing us the wrong direction.
I agree with everything you just said. Now, let me ask you this, though. I mean, I said earlier in the show, when he makes decisions or when someone makes decisions in his name, we're the ones that feel it. And when we have a president who can't make decisions at all, we're the ones who run the risk. I mean, the national security implications alone are through the roof. So What are they doing about that? Who makes decisions at 3 a.m. if China bows up?
Yeah, well, it's one. You only have to know one thing. We live in the most dangerous time since World War II, and you know, we're in almost 4 wars now. It's obviously China and Ukraine, Russia, and the Middle East, and nobody's even talking about Africa right now, which is just about ready to explode with all their gangs and cartels down there that are just absolutely killing their own people. It's absolutely amazing, and it's just, you know, we're sitting on that edge. And what if something really were to happen, and we'd have to have a very quick decision from a president of the United States? Number one, we can't trust Biden. We see that. Kamala Harris, she doesn't know, you know, what's going on. I mean, she's absolutely out of her league. You know, we've got people from behind the scenes that are going to have to be contacted. And hey, what do we do here? How do we do this? I mean, it's just absolutely insane how the Democrats are trying to run this country.
Well, and I'm not sure they're running the country as much as they're running it in the ground. But let me ask you this, Coach. I mean, what is the inside scoop up there in D.C.? Do people expect him to step? My anticipation is he's not going to step aside while they're still doing the backroom negotiations about how he has a soft landing after he leaves. So is it really this that he can't leave office and won't, or is he negotiating his way out right now? What do you think the deal is?
I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think the old boy wants to leave. I mean, he's been up here, you know, before they invented sliced bread. I mean, 50 years the guy's been up here. My gosh. And, you know, his wife, she likes the flying around on the plane with the escorts and the ambulances and their doctors. And, you know, she likes the limelight. But I don't know anything what's going on. But if I was him, I'd be negotiating me, number one, a pardon for me and my entire family, because they are they're probably not as crooked as the Clintons, but they're pretty close. And they've taken a lot of money from China and Ukraine. All the family members, I think it's 12 of them, and dealing with 22 different countries and 9 banks. We're talking millions of dollars. And so he's going to have a pardon before he even thinks about stepping down. So they're probably working on that. They're working on probably a Netflix deal of doing a couple of movies for $50 million and a book deal like Obama got for $100 million. I mean, it's sad. The American people are working night and day trying to put ends together. They're ruining our middle class. And you got these people up there worried about, you know, things that we shouldn't even have to be talking about right now. We need to be worried about saving our country from the border and foreign wars.
Well, totally agree. And so, I mean, I guess we are in a bit of a wait and see mode on this. He's saying adamantly today that he's not leaving. And I look at it too, and I don't know if you've ever interacted with the First Lady or not, but I can't help but say to myself, what is wrong with her? The whole world can see that her husband has problems, and yet she seems to be the one, as much as anybody, pressing him to stay where he is. And I do not get that.
Yeah. She loves the power. She loves the limelight. I mean, that's just what it's all about. They could care less about the United States of America. This is about the Bidens. This is about taking care of them. This is about, you know, staying in front of the cameras as long as they can. Now, if you want my opinion, I think eventually they either going to come around to Joe's thinking, if he's thinking at all, which he can't do, and just let him go and see if he can beat Trump, or they'll work a deal with him. They've got to put Kamala up next. And everybody says, well, they won't put her up. You know, she be president? Wait a minute. She has been one heartbeat away from being president the last 3.5 years. They put her in there. And so they're responsible for that. If they're saying that hey, they can't run her for president, they're just saying that, hey, we just put her in there because of who she is. And she's terrible. The borders are, and been down there one time. I mean, these people are so corrupt and so of running this country to socialism and communism, just what Europe is doing and have almost done. They want to be the same way. And they have put the American citizens in harm's way, and they could care less. And that's what Bill makes me sick in my stomach.
Well, so let me ask you this, Senator. So yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, in the House, Hakeem Jeffries had a meeting with his Democrat caucus to discuss it. And the word is that it did not go well, that members of his own Democrat caucus are asking for the president to step down. What are you hearing from Senate Democrats? Is Schumer of any concern right now, or is he so all in on Biden he's not going to say a word? Where is he doing? What's he doing with the Senate Democrats right now?
Well, first of all, these senators, the 51 of them, Democratic side, shouldn't even show their face, because they've all known how this guy stood mentally the last 3.5 years. Now, he was fairly decent his first year, but I tell you, for the last couple of years, he's almost crashed and burned. He's had a lot of tough situations he's been in. We've had senators from the Republican side. I have not been invited for obvious reasons, but some of them that have leadership roles have gone over, sat down in the Oval Office, talk about whether it's the CHIPS Act or Infrastructure Act, whatever, and he never says a word. His chief of staff does all the talking. So these Democratic senators, they need to be accountable.
Yeah,
this thing's going haywire on them now. And you got Mark Warner, the so-called leader of the Senate Democrats, other than Schumer. Schumer didn't want to get caught up in this. So he said, we're going to call this all together. We're going to make the right decision. I love what Biden said. He says, hey, you tell Senator Warner over there, the big Democrat himself, go ahead and run. You've run before, and I beat you, and I can do it again. So they're starting to fight amongst each other.
Yep.
And I hate it for the country. But, you know, we've got 6 more months of these clowns in office. Hopefully President Trump wins, we can get them out. But I'm going to tell you, Phil, it is so bad that, it's hard for people to imagine, because you don't really see it like I do. But, it's hard to imagine that these people were given the reins to run the freest and most prosperous country in the world, and they run it straight into the ground.
Well, So I'll tell you what, with the time we have left, let me switch gears on you slightly and ask you something. You were the sponsor, or one of the co-sponsors, of the Senate version of the SAVE Act, which would require proof of U.S. citizenship before someone's allowed to vote. Now, I know it went down on a party line vote in the Senate. It's still got life in the House. Talk to me about the SAVE Act and about election integrity as we head to these elections.
Yeah, Chip Roy brought it up in the bill in the House, and then Mike Lee and I brought it up in the Senate. And all it is the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility. In other words, if you get the vote, you got to have a driver's license with your picture on it. You got to be able to identify yourself. This nonsense of not having a identification in some of these states, you know, this year there's 19 states that you don't have to have a valid ID. You just show up and go vote. I mean, again, it just shows you how crooked, you know, the Democrats are, how they want to one side this thing. There's no way Joe Biden got 81 million votes. They were able to do it by the mail-in votes and by COVID and not being able for us to have enough people in these counting situations to keep the Democrats from cheating. They cheated the heck out of Donald Trump. He knew it, and that's the reason he was so mad about it. But they've also done the same thing to some senators and some House members. So the cat's out of the bag. And so the SAVE Act would pretty much tell everybody across the country, all 50 states, you have to have an ID. The Democrats don't want it because they want to cheat, and they want to try to keep power. Hopefully, we got everything situated where they can't do the same thing they did to Donald Trump in 2020.
Well, and I know it went down on a Senate vote. I'm assuming that they can get it passed in the House with some amendments, and we see a Senate majority, hopefully, in the fall. Maybe we can bring it right back. But this is...
Yeah, that's our only chance, Bill. We got to get majority. We've been in the minority since I've been here. We played defense the whole time. Now it's time for us. When we get the majority, we get a good leader in the Senate that'll actually do something, get out of the way, get the deep state out of the way, and do something for the dang taxpayer and the people that pay the bills up here, and quit listening to these lobbyists and go out there and do what's right for our country, or we're going to lose. And we're going to lose the entire country. And, I want for our kids and grandkids, they need an opportunity. Right now, if we continue this direction with the border open, with $35 trillion in debt, our young people are not going to have the opportunities that you and I have had.
No, and then I'm watching my grandkids right now grow up in a world that I get concerned about that very thing. But I'll be honest with you, Senator, and I'm not going to ask you to comment on this unless you want to. But if we get the majority back, I do not see Mitch McConnell being the effective leader. We're going to have somebody in there with some chutzpah, somebody who's willing to push and somebody who's willing to call people together and provide true leadership. And I hope that happens.
Well, I hope and pray that happens. You know, we've got some people now that say they're running, and I'm not sure that they're the right people. They don't understand, you know, when you're a leader, you step up and you raise your voice, you get people together. You don't say, listen, all of y'all, I don't want to treat you real bad because I want to be the leader next 2 years after this, y'all vote me in. Somebody's got to step up and put their foot down up here. And so we have got to work together on this. We've got about 10 or 15 that vote with the Democrats. And they voted with them to pass all this dang money that we've wasted in the last 3.5 years. And you know the ones I'm talking about. Yeah. And so hopefully we'll get a senator that will become a leader to step up and say, hey, you folks over that's been voting for the Democrats, either you go over there or you vote with us. You stay with the American people. We're for the American people. And there's about 25 or 30 of us up here that will stand up for the taxpayers. They are the boss, okay? They're the ones that are supposed to make the decisions up here through their representatives, not these leaders and these so-called chairmen of these committees and all these lobbyists that pay all these people to do all these certain things. We have got to take our country back. But right now, the deep state is so deep, they are running the country. And folks, you've heard people say that. It is definitely true. We do not have control as senators and House members because the deep state behind the scenes runs everything up here, and we got to stop it.
Well, Coach, make them take a lap. That's what I say. Just, you know, just go ahead and make them run safaris.
Give me 15 push-ups. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Hey, listen, Coach, we're out of time. Appreciate you, and keep doing what you're doing, and we'll have you back on again sometime soon.
Thank you, Phil. God bless.
All right. That's U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville calling in from D.C., stating it pretty plainly, and it sounded to me like he didn't think that Mitch McConnell was the one to take the reins next time. All right, that's about a wrap. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back and take a few text messages and put a lid on it. You guys, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams. Be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. Hey, let me tell you what else has a lot of common sense attached to it. That's the idea that this is a crazy world and you might want to check your investments. So let me give you an idea about something here, a big idea. And I'm going to give you something free too, so stay tuned for that. So yes, this is a crazy world. And yes, I know this audience, you're a bunch of right-side ruffians. A lot of y'all are out there working hard for your retirement. At the same time, your investments are going on. You're also the kind of people who stand up for what you believe in. What if you found out, though, that in the middle of all that, some of your investments are actually going to things that are contrary to what you believe in? Happens all the time. So maybe it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer and his team of PhDs and financial experts at Inspire Advisors, one of our newest advertisers, Inspire Advisors. Look, y'all, I'm talking about financial planning that considers who you are and what you believe in as much as they do your bottom line. These are solid local experts. They use biblically responsible investing, data-driven strategies to maximize your return, and they do it in a way that has like a real impact on your bottom line, but yes, also the world in which you live. It's financial freedom, y'all. So here's the free thing. You ready? Maybe you want to check and see, is my portfolio okay? Are some of my investments going to woke stuff? Well, go to their website, get a free impact report. A free impact report, Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com. Listen, you can also go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Go to our sponsors page and just click on their logo. It takes you right to their website. Here's the bottom line, though, you guys. It's conservative. It's godly. It's balanced. It's Inspire Advisors, financial freedom at moneypatternwealth.com. Check them out. All right, I'm going to put a lid on this. I got a few text messages to get with very little time to get it. I'll tell you one story I didn't get to that I thought was kind of interesting. Story here from TheBlaze.com, Dateline yesterday. Only 24% of Americans right now believe that Biden could even stay awake long enough to navigate a Cuban Missile Crisis if it came up again. Oh, Lord. Yeah. Daily Mail reports that a survey just came out that says that literally 24% of Americans would say Biden can't even stay awake long enough to handle a nighttime crisis. All right, so grades are in. John from Huntsville says, Phil, Jeff from Indiana, and Tommy Tuberville all receive an A double plus for equally fantastic performances, but today's winner is obviously Big Rig with a Chuck Norris-sized A triple plus. Congratulations. Looking forward to another spectacular Taco Tuesday episode of Right Side Radio. So Phil and Big Rig, don't let me down. We won't do it, John. We'll be right there with you, brother.
Did you see what I told him? I said I don't accept extra credit points unless they're
Chuck Norris sized. Yeah. I see that now. Wait, you primed that one. That was good. That was sneaky. I like that. Steve from Madison says the interview with Tuberville was eye-opening. I had no idea the country's on the brink of disaster as he described it. We need more men in the Senate of the senator's intelligence level. Yeah, and the willingness to say something about it. Listen, great show. More tomorrow. You guys stay tuned. We'll see you then.